Gaano ka nakatagal sa Dubai? Kaming mag-asawa ay 12 years na. And it has been an amazing journey sa biyaya ng Panginoon. We hope to continue staying and living in this country for the next 12, Lord willing. And ang city ng Dubai ay masasabi nating unique sa buong mundo. Dahil ito ay populated ng 80% na expats o yung tinatawag po na foreigners. At yung the rest of the percentage ay yung mga locals. Maring mas matagal na kayong nakatira dito o maring nandito ngayon at dito ka pinanganak at lumaki. Hindi pa ding tayo considered na local or native sa bansang ito. Tayo'y considered pa din mga expats, mga citizens of the Philippines with our own cultural distinctives living in a country not ours. At kahit matagal na tayo dito sa Dubai o tatagal pa sa Dubai, alam natin na panandalian lamang tayo sa lugar na ito. Kasi nandun ang reality na uuwi din po tayo sa ating minamahal na lupang hinirang. Unless kayo lumipad sa ibang bansa. Similarly, Christians are considered as expats of this world. Hindi tayo tiga dito. We are citizens of heaven. So this means panandalian lang tayo dito, and one fateful day, God will take us to our true permanent residence in heaven with Jesus Christ for eternity. For now, friends, we are expats of this world. At as expats of this world, paano natin pananatilihin ang distinctiveness ng identity and culture bilang mga followers ni Jesus? Paano ba dapat tayo mambuhay bilang mga expats sa mundo na ito? Sasagutin ito ni Peter sa ating passage ngayong umaga. We're going to go through a mini-series on 1 Peter, where we will be studying chapters 4 and 5 till the end of the month, which we have entitled ang series, The Expat Life. Now, just to give you a little background ng ating book or letter, ang letter ng 1 Peter ay sinulat po ni Apostle Peter primarily sa mga Gentile Christians na nakakalat throughout Asia Minor o kilala ngayon as Turkey. Paulit-ulit silang tinawag ni Peter na mga aliens and strangers o mga expats. Di dahil sila'y foreigners ang nakatira sa ibang bansa, kundi sila'y mga citizens of heaven na nakatira sa mundong ito. Dati silang mga sumasamba sa mga Diyos-Diyosan na nakakilala sa Panginoon Hesukristo, at mula noon, isinuko na o tinalikuran na nila ang mga dating pamumuhay at pananampalataya upang mamuhay lamang kay Kristo sa gitna ng isang kultura na marahas sa Kristyanismo. In light sa kanilang bagong citizenship, Peter encourages them in the midst of suffering to persevere. To persevere in the faith by submitting to Roman rule, kahit ito'y unjust and oppressive, submit to their Christian slaves, submit sa kanilang masters, Christian wives submit to their non-believing husbands, Christian husbands love and honor their wives. Ito po yung mga instructions that would mark expat living. They are to demonstrate their faith not by rebellion but by suffering, doing what is right, and showing love and generosity sa kanilang mga kaaway, just like Jesus. Ang chapter 2 hanggang 11 to 12 summarizes yung sinasabi ni Peter dito. And allow me to read it. It's not on the slides, but let me read it. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Ito ang mensahe ni Peter sa mga expat sa mundo noon, noong first century. Ito din ang mensahe ni Peter sa mga expats ngayon, tayo sa panahon natin. My prayer ngayong umaga sa atin ay ma-amaze tayo sa ating suffering Savior, that we would be compelled to live like and for him as expats of the world, even if it means suffering for it. That is my prayer, that we would live as expats in this world, even to a point of suffering. A main idea natin, or point this morning: expats of this world are called to live for Christ and to love His church for the glory of God. Expats of this world are called to live for Christ and to love His church for the glory of God. We have divided this passage into two. Number one, live for the will of God, verses 1 to 6. And number two, love for the glory of God, verses 7 to 11. Let's look at number one. Live for the will of God. Verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Let's stop right there. Isa sa mga helpful practices in reading and studying and understanding the Bible is to ask questions. Sa passage natin, it's good to ask what Peter means by saying Christ suffered in the flesh and arm yourselves with the same thinking. Medyo mahirap po siya kung babasahin lang natin as is. To answer this, mahalaga naman malaman natin kung bakit sinimula ni Peter ang passage sa conjunction na therefore. Ang ibig sabihin nito, he is concluding ang previous argument niya sa chapter 3. Now, mahalaga na maunawaan ng mga readers ni Peter kung ano ito, dahil ito ang magiging basihan or basis kung papaano sila mamumuhay as persecuted expats sa mundo na ito. So, let's flip a few pages or scroll back sa ating smartphones as we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. From this verse, nakikita natin kung ano ang ibig sabihin ng suffering in the flesh ni Jesus. Peter is saying that Christ has gone through physical suffering on the cross, not for his sins, because he is sinless. If you go to chapter 2, verse 22, ipapaliwanag yon. For but because he suffered as a sin offering. He suffered and died for the sins of his people. Why? Because we who are sinful should have suffered and died under God's holy judgment. Dapat tayo yun. But by God's mercy, God's grace, He sent His Son, Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us. Ang ibig sabihin nito, on the cross, God the Father regarded and treated the Son, Jesus Christ, as sin. Dahil ang ating kasalanan was imputed o binaling kay Jesus. At ang righteousness naman ni Jesus was imputed to us, or credited to us, or credited to those who believe in Christ for salvation. This is what we call the great exchange. or penal substitutionary atonement of Christ. The righteous for the unrighteous, to reconcile people to God. Isn't that awesome? Those who are far from God are now brought near to God because of Jesus Christ. Kung ito ang overarching argument ni Peter sa chapter 3, ngayon, through this lens, let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, now we know that's the cross. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Ito ang pinaka-point ng verse 1. Arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Parang mga sundalo preparing for war. Actually, this is one of the ways Peter view yung Christian life. Kung titignan po natin in chapter 1, verse 13, he tells his readers, therefore prepare your minds for action. Kung pupunta naman tayo sa chapter 2, verse 11, sabi niya, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. So, ang sinasabi ni Peter dito sa verse 1, ay since Christ suffered on the cross in obeying the will of God, lahat ng mga Christians, therefore, should prepare to suffer living for the will of God. Does that make sense? And what does that entail? Well, if Christ's obedience to the will of the Father led him to suffer on the cross to defeat sin, we as expats of the world must do whatever it takes to kill sin in our lives. Ito ang ginawa ng mga first readers ni Peter. At tignan nyo ang naging resulta. Let's read verses, second part of verse 1 hanggang 3. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. Una, binanggit niya, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Hindi ito nangangahulugan na we will attain sinless perfection dito sa mundo na to, or before Jesus returns. We will. We will have glorified bodies, sinless bodies. That's glorious. But that's after ng pagdating ni Jesus, not in this world. So ano sinasabi dito ni Peter? Ang sinasabi ni Peter dito na his readers ay nagkaroon sa biyaya ng Diyos na nakawala sa mga dati nilang kasalanan na nag-aalipin sa kanila. Mga dating namumuhay sa mga makamundo at makalaman na hangarin at gawain. Ngayon ay namumuhay na ayon sa kalooban ng Diyos. Ito ang itsura ng mga expats in this world. Friends, are you waging war with sin, or have you made peace with it? Sa mga kasalanan na nabali na natin sa biyaya ng Panginoon, is it starting to look enticing and promising again? And are tempted to go back to it? Anong mga nagawa mong kasalanan sa nakaraan na patuloy tayong nilalamon ng regrets? Mga bagay marahil na kahiya-hiya o devastating. Ang sinabi ni Peter, malaki na ang nasayang na oras sa pamumuhay sa makalaman na bagay. Huwag na natin balikan pa. Huwag mo nang pagbulay-bulayan pa or meditate on it. O manatili sa kasalanan na ito. Tayo'y niligtas at binigyan na ng bagong buhay at layunin ng Panginoong Hesukristo. It would be confusing if we claim or say that we are Christians, mga taong binago ng Panginoong Hesukristo, pero namumuhay pa din tayo ayon sa makalaman na hangarin at gawain. That would be confusing. Bilang mga expats sa mundong ito, we should continue pursuing a life living for the will of God by daily killing sin. At sa ating mga past sins na patuloy tayong nilalamon ng mga regrets and shame, be encouraged as we are reminded naman sa isa pang apostle, the Apostle Paul, sa kanyang mga sinulat sa 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Let me read it to you. 1 Timothy 1:13 to 15. This is the Apostle Paul. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for who I am the foremost. Praise God, Pastor, sa passage. Anong gagawin ko pag naaalala ko? Tuwing naaalala natin ang mga nakaraan nating kasalanan, huwag natin sayangin, gamitin natin. What do you mean? Gamitin natin ang mga ito to deepen our sorrow and repentance over sins. And increase our affections as we meditate on the gospel of Jesus Christ, on what He has done sa atin. Kaya bilang mga expats sa mundo na ito, we must link arms together in fighting sin. Maaring sa iba sa atin, as we suffer together being a Christian in this world, it could mean losing a big business deal. You are being forced by your colleagues, your boss, or even you're tempted to cheat, to lie. It could mean losing that big business deal. Or maybe it could mean losing that job. Kung palagi kang pinipwersa magkasala. It could mean being shamed, made fun of, or rejected. It could mean being imprisoned. It could mean losing your life for the cause of the cross. Crossroads. Let us do whatever it takes to fight and kill sin, even to the point of costing our relationships. Yan ang parang sinabi sa verse 4. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. Wild parties, drunkenness, and sexual immorality are prevalent in the Greco-Roman world and are considered as normal. Peter's readers have lived lives distinctively Christian, that even their non-believing friends noticed it and are mocked and verbally abused. Friends, are you living a life that is distinctively Christian, that friends and loved ones notice? Or are you living a life that is indistinguishably Christian, that non-believers approve of? Are their activities or practices in your and my relationships that you need to cease or stop doing? Friends, are there relationships in your lives right now that need to cease, to stop, to end? Mga kaibigan, kung ang pamumuhay natin ngayon ay walang pagkakaiba, nung hindi pa tayo mananampalataya, kailangan natin pag-isipan mabuti kung tayo ba talaga ay may tamang relasyon sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Dahil ang tunay na mananampalataya suffers mockery, verbal abuse, rejection. A true child of God will receive hate speeches. So social media, unfriend. 1 Peter 4, verses 5 to 6. Tingnan po natin to. Although sufferers of the Lord Jesus Christ are being mocked, may hangganan ito. Look at verse 5 to 6. But they will give account to him who is already to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. Non-believers will not have the last word because God will judge those who continue in sin. So verse 6, hindi sinasabi ni Peter na ang mga patay ay may pagkakataon pang marinig ang gospel at maligtas. The dead doesn't get a second chance. Kaya po ang katuruan ng mga kaibigan nating Roman Catholic pagdating po sa purgatory o purgatorio ay isang interpretation na hindi sinusuportahan ng Bible kahit saan. Hindi siya consistent even sa letter ni Paul. Peter. Kasi Peter is encouraging the suffering saints to persevere in the faith. Magpatuloy sa kanilang godly living and endure suffering. Hebrews 9:27 tells us in the NIV, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face the judgment. So hindi itong sinasabi ni Peter dito. Let's reject that idea. Na may second chance pa, may waiting area somewhere pag namatay ka in hopes that you would be redeemed. So, anong ibig sabihin ito, Pastor? Simply put, these are Christians who already died. Nung sila'y buhay pa, someone shared the gospel to them, nakakilala sa Panginoon, and now they're dead. They were temporarily judged physically, which is physical death, yet are eternally alive in Christ for eternity. And when Christ comes back, the dead, the flesh, the spirit, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then the body and the spirit will be reunited in its glorious state. Ang verses 5 hanggang 6 serves as both a warning and an encouragement. Warning, ito'y warning sa mga nagpapatuloy sa kasalanan at sa pag-reject kay Christ. If you are here this morning and you continue to reject Christ as the only way to be cleansed and forgiven for your sins and be reconciled to God one day when you die, which is inevitable, you won't get a second chance. It's now. It's today. Today is the day of salvation. How are you responding to the gospel? Pero dahil naman dito, dahil na nilagay ka pa ng Panginoon dito, buhay ka pa, humihinga ka pa, at naririnig mo itong mensaheng ito, this is God extending His patience, His grace, His mercy sa kaluluwa mo. I urge you, friends, to repent from your sins and believe that Christ died for your sins, God raised him from the dead for your salvation. Huwag na natin ipamamaya. Pag-iisipan ko na, Pastor, tagal mo nang pinag-iisipan yan. Pastor, I need hard evidences. You don't need hard evidences. The issue is you have a hard heart. Humble yourself before the Lord because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's in chapter 5 in 1 Peter. So this is a warning. Kung meron man katiyakan sa mundo, isa sa mga tiyak sa mundo ay kamatayan. Hindi natin alam kung kailan. You're hearing this. This is grace. But there is this passages of 5 and 6 is also an encouragement. It's also an encouragement. Ito naman ay isa ding encouragement to those who trusted Christ for salvation. That though one day na tayo'y mamamatay, tayo'y mabubuhay kasama ang Panginoon for eternity. So how is this encouraging? One, it's secured. Your salvation is secured in Christ. How is this encouraging? It's encouraging to those who are physically suffering because of ailment or prolonged suffering, prolonged ailments. Which means may hangganan yan. This is also an encouragement to those whose loved one who trusted Christ ay hindi mo nakasama. Nasa Panginoon na. One day you will get to see them again face to face with Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This means that neither the mockery of non-believers nor death has the last say. God has the last say. Kaya sa mga ka-expats sa mundong ito, let us look forward to that day. At anong kailangan nating gawin habang tayo'y nag-aantay sa araw na yung Pastor? Well, tignan natin yung point number 2, which is our last point. Love for the glory of God. Verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Ang pagbalik ng Panginoong Hesukristo ang sinasabi ni Peter dito. Okay? Dito yung mga napapanood natin sa movie na end of all world, na biglang wala na, patay na lahat. Tapos may mga aliens na dumating nung desierto na yung buong mundo. Eh. Hindi po. Ang sinasabi rito, yung end of all things is Christ will come, will return. Since Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection, and ascension, it inaugurated the beginning of the last days. At ang kanyang pagbalik naman will be the end of history. Ang tawag po dito ay eschatology or the last days, where Jesus will come and judge the living and the dead. And then we will all be finally transported, brought to our new country. Kasi hindi tayo taga dito. Kaabang-abang ito sa mga Kristiyano. Kaabang-abang ito, mga kapatid, dapat sa atin. Pero may mga paraan ng pag-abang sa pagdating ng Panginoon that is unwise and unhelpful. Gaya ng pagnood ng maraming mga videos sa paghahanap ng mga hidden codes or mathematical calculations sa Bible to unlock its secrets. Para malaman yung secret sequence ng pagdating ng Panginoon. Marami po mga videos na lumalabas na yan ngayon. Also, searching online and asking mga prophets or yung mga gurus kung kailan ang dating ni Jesus. Be careful. Friends, hindi natin kailangan malaman kung kailan darating si Jesus. Sa Acts chapter 1, nung tinanong si Jesus ng mga disciples kung kailan mangyayari yung kanyang mga predict, ang lahat ng mga ito, ang sinabi ni Jesus, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. But what you need to know, it's inevitable. I will return. The point is that Jesus is coming very soon. Peter communicated to our Christians that it can happen very, very soon, even now. He wants his readers and us to look forward to this event. He wants the churches to have the anticipatory excitement that he could come at any moment. So, how are we to live as a church as we eagerly wait for Christ's return?
Kung ganun, Pastor, kung anytime na ito, mag-aantay na lang ako. Bibenta ko mga gamit ko, sa bahay na lang ako matutulog. Kamali mo, yun yung time. Okay, bibigay ko lahat ng mga ari-arian ko sa church, yun ba yun?
No. Peter knows, I'm sorry, let me back up. So how are we to live as a church as we eagerly wait for Christ's return? Paano tayo mamumuhay? Let me sum it up in one word. Love. Love. The church should love one another as we wait for that glorious day. Peter knows as persecution escalates from the outside, tension naman from the inside intensifies. And so Peter wants the expats from this world or of this world to exercise among one another's. Verse 7, therefore be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. So what do we do as expats of this world? Pray. Pray. Again, may party spirit ang Greco-Roman world. Kung ang mga mananampalataya sa Asia Minor immerse themselves sa kulturang ito, then madalas silang lasing. At maiimpluwensaan ang kanilang desires at ambitions. At ang magiging focus ng kanilang mga prayers ay nakasentro lamang sa kanilang sarili. At sa mga kanilang mga makamundong hangarin. Mga kaibigan, as expats of this world, ang mindset ay dapat clear mind, self-control. Para ang mga prayers natin would not lose focus. Kanino? Kay Christ. Kung naka-immerse tayo sa kultura ng mundo, it will shape our desires and priorities in life. Thus, it will affect our prayers. Friends, how much of your prayers and my prayers, our prayers, are influenced by Christ's return? Anong tunog ng prayers niyo? Let me rephrase that question. How does Christ's return affect the priorities of your prayers? Your longing for Christ's return will be evident in your prayers or the absence of it. Friends, pray. Pray na ang mga katrabaho, kaklase, kapitbahay, kaibigan, kaibigan, kamag-anak, kapamilya, mga anak at asawa would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Pray. Because malapit na ang Panginoon dumating. Pray that you will be the one to proclaim the gospel to them. And pray that the Lord will grace you with a witness to back it up. Pray bilang mga expats sa mundo na we would pursue holiness, that we would live in light of eternity. So pray. Yan ang itsura ng mga nag-aabang kay Kristo ng mga Kristiyano. Second, forgive. Forgive. Not only should our prayers be affected by Christ's return, but also our relationships. Our anticipation of Christ's return should affect the way we treat one another. Verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Alam ni Peter na ang mga church gatherings ay naglalaman ng mga makakasalanan. Bagamat ang mga Christians have been forgiven of their sins through Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross, there is no such thing in this side of heaven as a sinless Christian. The more we intentionally involve our lives in the lives ng ating mga ka-church members, the more likely we are to offend one another. Kasi magkakakitaan tayo ng mga gaspang. Magkakakitaan tayo ng mga ugali talaga natin. I mean, hi, hello sa church, that's fine. Pero once na nakasama mo, naging intentional na tayo sa buhay ng bawat isa, we will see yung fallenness ng bawat isa. Thus, offend each other. Dahil lahat tayo ay nagsastruggle pa din sa kasalanan. Although the power of sin is no more, we have been set free because of Christ, but the presence of sin is there. The old man is there. Dahil lahat tayo nagsastruggle with self-centeredness. Lahat tayo nagsastruggle with self-entitlement. Lahat tayo nagsastruggle with pride. Lahat tayo nagsastruggle with materialism. Lahat tayo nagsastruggle sa anger issues. Lahat tayo nagsastruggle sa fear of man. Lahat tayo nagsastruggle with an unforgiving heart. That's why Peter calls for a love. Calls for a love that is gracious. He calls for a love to the church he redeemed, bought by the blood. He calls for a love that is forgiving. Friends, as thankful, happy, grateful recipients of God's mercy, grace, and patience, dapat we should also extend grace, mercy, patience, and forgiveness sa mga kapatidan who offended us. We should love one another in this way bilang expat sa mundo na ito na nag-aantay sa pagdating ng Panginoon at ihatid tayo sa kanyang kaharian, ang tunay nating residence. We should love one another this way. This is how we care for each other's hearts. This is how we should care for each other's relationships. This is how we care for our corporate witness. We should love one another. And if you are here this morning and you long for such relational love, the best way to experience it is to be a member of a church. You will never experience or exercise Christ's love tangibly if you're not part of a church family. Because it is through the church that Christ's love is displayed. As we commit together to care for one another, exercise watchfulness over each other, encourage and build one another up, and admonish one another when necessary, you want a church who will covenant with you. You want a church that will be committed to you. Committed to your holiness. Be part of a church. Hindi lang attendee. You need serious relationships, hindi ba? You want serious relationships in your life. You want people to take you seriously. Some would, ang definition of serious relationship is put a ring on it. Which is true. If you want to be serious in relationships at church, be part of the church. It should come naturally sa inyo, sa ating mga Christians, because we are people who have been reconciled. Reconciled to God, the Father, reconciled to one another. It should come naturally. Our prayers and relationships should be affected by Christ's return. How is Christ's return affecting your relationships to the unlovable? To the unforgiving, to those people who are not like you. pray, love, show hospitality. Verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Three times binanggit sa passage to one another. One another. Love one another. Serve one another. Show hospitality to one another. That's repetition. There's an emphasis. We should exercise one another. One another's. Sabi dyan, which is interesting, without. So, maging hospitable tayo at huwag tayo mag-grumble. Ano ba grumble sa Tagalog? Parang hindi tugmay mga yung sinasabi natin, ano? Pero bakit without grumbling? Kasi hindi ito madali. Hindi madali maging hospitable. Dahil kailangan natin mag-prepare ng iyahain, kailangan natin mamalengke, mag-general cleaning ng bahay na ginagawa mo once a year. Kailangan mong pagkatapos umalis, kailangan ikaw rin na maghuhugas, kaya dapat mga disposables na lang. Diba? Alisin mo yan, labas mo yan. And from the, it's a lot of work, it's money investment, it's time investment. It's not easy. At hindi din, hindi, lalo na sa ating mga kaibigan na introverts. This is not easy na lalapit ka after ng service at yayayain sila. Dinner tayo sa bahay. At hindi din madali magkaroon ng intentional conversations during meals. You'll be accused of being intrusive. Or mga chismoso, chismoso. Ano ba pinagtatanong? Inimbita ba ako rito para chismisin? Para interrogate? No, we want to be intentional. We don't want to interrogate. We want to be involved in our lives, each other's lives. Of course, this takes discernment. Ask the elders what good questions to ask during the meal. It's a good kindness kung tatanungin mo sila anong paborito mong pagkain and then prepare. Diba? Tapos nataon yung favorite nilang food, yung pinakaayaw mo na food, no? That's gospel spirit. Titingnan natin kung talaga kung gospel-driven tayo. Diba? Mahirap. Mahirap man, it's worth doing as we seek to love others by welcoming them into our homes and welcoming them into our lives and serving them. Naniniwala ako na isa sa mga strengths ng Crossroads Church is hospitality. Kaya nung nagkaroon ng lockdown ng 2020 dahil sa COVID-19, it hurt us. Pero mga kaibigan, ngayon na wala ng lockdown, when was the last time nag-imbita ka ng mga kapatiran sa iyong tahanan for a meal? For an intentional meal? Or when was the last time nag-imbita ka ng kapatiran na hindi mo gaano kakilala sa church? Or hindi mo gaano ka-close? Or hindi mo kaparehas? It's easy to invite people na kaparehas natin. Maaring estranghero tayo sa mundong ito, pero dapat hindi tayo naiba sa bawat isa. Let me say that again. Maaring estranghero tayo dito sa mundo, pero dapat hindi tayo naiba sa bawat isa. Inviting others into our homes can help break any awkwardness in the relationship and cultivate more meaningful, Christ-centered friendships. So we pray, we become hospitable, we love, fourth, we serve. We serve. You want to keep waiting for Jesus faithfully as expats of this world? Serve. Serve. Verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God's stewards of God's varied grace. Ang bawat isa sa ating mga mananampalataya ay pinagkalooban ng Panginoon ng regalo. Gifts. Hindi man magkakaparehas o ang paraan ng paglilingkod, pero ito'y ginagamit to build up the body of Christ. Or to use Peter's language, is to be used to serve one another. Sa passage na ito, nakahati sa dalawang kategorya ang gifts. One is speaking gifts. Second, I serving gifts. Now, for those of you who are wondering, na medyo controversial yan, Pastor, I'm not going there, but in this passage, we want to be faithful kung ano sinasabi ni Peter, it's categorized as two, speaking and serving gifts. Let's talk about speaking gifts. Ang speaking gifts involves preaching. Preaching the word na kadalasan ginagawa on a regular basis ng inyong lingkod at ng mga kasamahan nating mga pastor dito. Please pray. Pray for me. Pray for the Crossroads preachers that we would be faithful and not fall into the temptation of fearing man more than God. Kasi there is a temptation. There is a temptation to preach our own agenda. There's a temptation to preach and attack people we don't like. God forbid. There is a temptation to make us look good, look smart. These are temptations that we need to fight every day. That's why we need to submit ourselves in the Word. Pray for us. Pray for your pastors as they prepare. Pray for our teachers, those who are teaching in community groups, equipping classes, kids ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, discipleship relationships, counseling. Pray for the people of God in this church that we would speak only what God's word says. Speaking gifts. Second, serving gifts. Set up. Sa church natin, we see this everywhere. Set up and sound teams. So, sa nakikita nyo pa sa lugar na to, we really appreciate yung setup dito, pero hindi ho magic na biglang Sunday, nandyan na lahat yan. We have dedicated men who set this up every Sunday. Yung mga sound system, yung mga mics, yung mga speakers, hindi magaang yan. But there are men dedicated every Sunday to put these things together in order to serve you. Nandiyan din ang connections team, the people who help you find a seat. Kahit minsan dinadaan-daanan natin. Hi, good morning. Ma'am, dito, kung saan ang direction, doon ka naman sa opposite. Eh, pastor naman, kasi sa harap ako pinapaupo, eh, medyo mahihain ako. You know what? They're here to serve you, and they serve with joy. Multimedia. The action happens hindi on a Sunday most of the time. The action happens before. I praise God sa ating multimedia team because they're so patient with me. We have committed to give yung aming notes, yung aming mga things that ipapresent sa slides a few days before Sunday, and I think we're doing a good job lately. Pero most of the time, let me back up. Not most of the time. There are times, I'm doing a bad job kung ganun. There are times na last minute ipinapabago namin. And they were so patient with us. And we praise God for them. Pray for them. Mga kapatid, and for those of you, I know ko maraming mga ministries that I probably have not mentioned formal, informal, sa harapan, sa likuran. But let me tell you this for those of you who are serving. Mga kapatid, the Lord has generously, let me back up sa aking trail of thoughts. For those of you who are not serving, the Lord has generously graced you with gifts. How are you using them to serve your church families at Crossroads? How long have you been a member of this church? Eh, pastor, hindi ko alam kung ano yung spiritual gift ko. Hindi pa ako nakakuha ng spiritual gift test. Di ba meron mga ganon? Na kailangan malaman ko yung aking temperament, kailangan mo yung character, mag-fit sa tamang ministry. So, pag nakakuha na ako ng spiritual gift test, back in seminary, meron kaming ganon, doon ko lang malalaman, doon ako magiging effective, doon ako magbo-volunteer. Mga kaibigan, you don't need to take that test. Hindi mo kailangan i-take yung test na yon. If hindi ka sure kung ano yung gift mo, try knowing kung ano yung need ng church. and jump in. Help. We need help. Hindi kailangan ng mga test. Try knowing kung saan higit na nangangailangan ang ng paglilingkod ang ating iglesia. Pastor, paano ko malalaman? Talk to our deacons. Ang mga deacons natin would know kung ano yung need. Sometimes sa church ng ganito karami o kakonte, minsan iniisip natin, dami ng volunteers, yun na namin kailangan ng volunteers. Well, there's always a need for volunteers. Ask the deacons. Pastor, hindi ko kilala yung mga deacons. Paano yon? Parang dami natin dahilan, ano? Then sa page 19 ng bulletin, nandun ang mga deacons. I always tell this to the people I disciple. Just do it. Just do it. Sa inyo na nagsaserve sa ministry, let me say this as your pastor, maraming salamat. Maraming salamat sa paglingkod ninyo. Keep serving the Lord. Alam ko na hindi ito madali. Kadalasan ay hindi napapansin ang inyong ginagawa. Kadalasan marahil ay hindi napapasalamatan o na-appreciate yung inyong mga efforts na kung paano nyo tinakil yung issue para hindi na makarating sa mga leaders ng church. Na kung saan sugatan ka na at pagod, hindi nakakain, napuyat. And then from there, ni pasalamat, ni apre, mga kritik pang binigay. Pastor, sabi mo, members, parang ayoko na maging member ng church na to, ganun para rito. Hindi, we give feedback, okay, to help us grow. If not, we have not been loving in how we did that, sorry. We'll change. But I'd like to encourage you, magpatuloy po tayo. Magpatuloy po tayo. Keep serving the Lord amidst of all these challenges na inarap natin. I'd like to encourage you to focus your heart to the audience of one. That's how you fight discouragement. Be reminded na as expats sa mundo na ito, as we serve, we look not for the praises of men, but we look to giving praises to the greater servant, Jesus. Jesus came to this dark, fallen, self-serving world not to be served, but to serve. Oh, friends, Jesus did serve us well when he gave his life on the cross as a ransom. Anyone who believes in Christ's sacrificial death on the cross, his burial and resurrection will be saved. We would no longer be slaves to sin, but to righteousness. I urge you, friends, to repent from the sin of self-righteousness and self-serving attitudes and put our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. A couple of things patungkol sa pag-serve. We're almost done. May 30 minutes pa. We're almost done. Number one, serve gamit ang lakas ng Panginoon, hindi lakas mo. Verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Human strength will fail you. That's it. That's just about it. Kasi may mga times na ayaw natin maglingkod dahil pagod, discouraged, demotivated, maaring natisod. If that is you, ask for the Lord's sustaining grace. Now, if you are in sin, that's a different topic. Ayaw ko na magpatuloy kasi may kasalanan, that's a good idea. Talk to your elders. But for those of you who are discouraged and tired, do not get tired on doing what is good. For this pleases the Lord. Ask for the Lord's sustaining grace. Talk to your deacons. Talk to your elders. In what ways can we be helpful sa inyo as you serve? And second, be reminded that you are serving not to get attention, not to be appreciated, not to enhance your skills or talents or find your significance and identity in it, or not to be applauded dahil sa sipag o galing mo, kasi this would be self-serving and idolatrous. Why? Because ang Panginoon lamang ang dapat bigyan ng kapapurihan sa lakas na binibigyan niya sa ating maglingkod. God deserves His people's praises. Why do we love the church? How do we love the church? By praying, forgiving, showing hospitality, serving one another. Why do we do that? Why do we need to do that? Because sabi sa verse 11, second part, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Serve to the audience of one. For His glory, not ours. If tayo'y nagtatampo, mabigat na tayo dahil hindi tayo napapansin, there's a problem sa heart mo, kapatid. And if there is something that your brothers and sisters did that offended you or sin against you, don't remain silent. You have to talk to them. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, sa pagbalik ni Kristo, ang kanyang glory will be fully displayed to all creation. How we long, or we should be longing for that day as we behold the beauty and majesty, grandeur of our Redeemer. We should long for that. We should stand in awe, kagaya ng kinanta natin kanina, of His glory. But as we wait for that glorious day, God has chosen to display His glory in the church. And He is glorified, mga kapatid, sa Panginoon, when the church lives according to God's will and loves one another. That's how God gets the glory. Bilang mga expats dito sa Middle East, kapag tayo po ay babalik na sa ating lupang hinirang or kung saan man, may we continue living as expats in this world that would reflect our true citizenship and residence. Expats of this world are called to live for Christ and to love His church for the glory of God. Let's pray. Oh Father, as we meditate on the gospel this week, on how Jesus suffered and died on the cross to bring us to You, may this truth compel us to live our lives doing Your will and to love Your people well, even if it means suffering for it. May we be known as expats of this world and not natives of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.